And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. That would be Alabama. I'm talking about this show sends its signal way on down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, even Mississippi thrown in just for good measure. Well, this is the show we're doing. The whole show, the whole first 2 hours at the very least, are dedicated to the Memorial Day, the idea that we remember, and as I said earlier, always remember and never forget those who have gone before us to make freedom a possibility for us. And somebody who I served with and was proud to be a part of a team with in Afghanistan, at the time, at the beginning of the war, this young 17-year-old kid is the one who made things work for my team. I mean, we didn't know what was being said half the time, and my buddy Hamid did. Hamid became a part of our team. He lived with us. And after we left, he went on to serve with other special operations teams. And he is now a U.S. citizen living here with his beautiful family in the United States. And just for safety's sake, because he still has family back in Afghanistan, we're just going to use his first name and not talk about where he lives now. But he's on the phone right now. So, Hamid, my brother, how are you doing?
Good. How have you been?
I am good, man. I am just doing fine. Is your family well?
Yes. Yes, everyone is well.
Well,
all fine.
Well, good deal. Hey, listen, thanks for making some time for us today. Let me ask you this. So we were one of the first teams you worked with in Afghanistan, and you were like 17 years old, and then you went on to work with other teams. What do you have any distinct memories, and how did it come to be that you even learned English with the Taliban being in charge?
Absolutely. I was a 17 years old kid, as you said, and I had gone through a period of lack of food during the Taliban and the civil war that was happening. So when I first came across all the food, and the MREs and cupcakes, Tabasco sauce, oranges with no seeds. I just found that to be, I remember for the first time I had oranges that were sent to troops. And I was so shocked that they did not have seeds. And I was like, one day when I make it in life, I will be having these every day. And I do have one a day now.
Well.
So those are like some of the very visceral memories. And, of course, when I started working with troops, it was an honor and it was a great experience. And I learned so much. And there were many people who I looked up to as role models. And you were one of them, truly.
Well, I'm honored by that. Thank you, brother. You know, at the time, you know, what was interesting to me was we came to a point where we realized that people could, I mean, things could happen in the middle of the night. And so we asked you if you would just kind of come live with the team. I mean, you didn't go home at night. You didn't have to go back to, you know, where your family was. You actually lived with us, became a part of, you know, who we were as a team. And there you were, 17, 18 years old, carrying an AK-47 and going out on patrol with us when we did. And you did a great job.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I had good leadership. And thank you so much for taking me and trusting me during those days and guiding me and giving me the proper instructions to do my job.
Well, you could have. The interesting thing is we didn't know Dari, and you could have said anything, and we would have had to say, okay. But you, the reason why you lived with us is because we trusted you. But that was one of the unique things about it was in the space that we were operating, trust was absolutely imperative. And you know, at the same time, there were people that you and I both knew, Afghans, who have been under threat of death, and you actually had to come to the United States. You first were a refugee because your family had faced threats. And if you don't mind, just briefly talk about what the sacrifices were for you to even leave the country and become a refugee.
So the biggest sacrifice for me has been, I have in the city where I live right now, I have a friend here who is was working for the sheriff's department, and he grew up here from childhood until now. And he's in his 50s now, and sometimes we go around and he shows me where he grew up and where his first house was and all that. And that's one of the things that I think I miss the most, is that I lost the very city that I was born in, and I have no hope at this point to go back in the very streets and in the very town and the street food. And so that was the biggest sacrifice. And more than that, of course, when American troops came to the came to Afghanistan, they made many friends, and then they made many local allies. And seeing some of those allies left behind, some of them lost their lives, and to carry those memories with me to this day is it is very sad. And of course, I'm very happy for the folks that made it back, and also I cannot forget the folks that didn't make it, the folks that lost their lives. There was this one, when you first told me about coming on the show and the Memorial Day and who I think of, one of the guys, I'm sure you remember him, his name was Nangyalai, and he came to my mind. Nangyalai was the guards commander brother, cousin actually.
Yeah.
And he was captured by the Taliban, and and not only they beat him up first, after they killed him, they cut his nose and cut his lips. And I still remember that.
Wow. Wow. Well, you know, and these folks, and I'll say this, Hamid, you're my first caller today. I have several calls today from people who have distinct service. But I thought it was important to have you on, too, because I think we need to convey that sometimes who we serve with, whether they're Americans or not, that they're still part of what brings freedom, and they're still part of the fight that we have to maintain freedom. Now,
absolutely.
Listen, brother, you've got an amazing testimony. I mean, I have told your story to so many people, and I'll just brag on you just for a minute. You came here with literally nothing. You not only, you know, it made your way through the education system and got your degree. You went on to have a master's from Yale. You went back and worked for a period of time for the president of Afghanistan. And I think it's an amazing story. To me, it's the American dream. And there was a time you called me one time and you said, I have paid off all of my student loans. And I said, how did you do that? You had a lot of student loans. And your response to me was amazing. You said, this country has given me so much. I don't want to have to owe it. And so I guess I ask you now, as an American citizen, how does Memorial Day fit into your thinking, and what are your thoughts on that?
When I first came to this country back in 2006, and I could literally feel the peace and how calm and how orderly everything was and still is. And I also looked around and saw that how people were taking it all for granted. Nobody talks about peace. Nobody talks about we don't have security issues. We are not being attacked and so on our soil. And I was like, it's unbelievable that everybody is taking this for granted, not knowing that the men and women who are fighting far away for this peace is something that nobody really thinks about much. And to me, I literally said to myself, this peace has a huge cost that people are paying for. So I feel that to this day, this freedom, this peace that we have here, the fact that you can just send your kids to school and you don't have to worry that they will be kidnapped or a bomb will blow up and kill them, is an amazing gift. It's an amazing aspect of life to cherish. And, of course, it's people who served, it's people who lost their lives that have made this possible. And we shouldn't forget them, and we shouldn't forget their families. And I must add, we shouldn't forget that the very people who are serving right now, and they are willing to lay their life if time comes, we shouldn't forget them, and we should cherish them while they're alive, just as we cherish those who have lost their lives for this country. And we should cherish their memories and help their families and their children.
That is so well said. And I think you bring a perspective, brother. I think you do. I think you bring a perspective that so many of us here who have lived a sheltered life, sometimes even those who have served in hard places, don't have that base of or that perception that you have from having seen without and now seeing what you can have with freedom. And let me ask you this, just in the couple minutes we have left together, how are your parents doing? I know your dad served in the Afghan National Army. He was a career officer. But my understanding is it's been a bit difficult for them because they are still over there under Taliban rule now. How are your folks doing?
They're doing okay. For my father, it's very difficult, of course, because he served in the Afghan military for 40 years total, and he worked very hard in hoping that one day he will retire and he will receive his retirement and live on that. Now that the entire military and everything collapsed and this barbaric regime came to power, he lost that. He couldn't really enjoy the fruits of his 40 years of work. And he's not alone. There are hundreds of thousands of people who work for the Afghan government, worked alongside the U.S. government to bring freedom and democracy. And then at the end, we all know what happened. Mm. And it's difficult for them. It's difficult.
Well, you got your sister over here most recently, didn't you?
Yes. Yes, she came here. And it was a very happy moment. She finally made it. So that's definitely a plus in my life. And also to see all these Afghan families that have been granted the right to come to the United States because of their service, and to see them and to see their children and to see Afghan children going to school just like normal kids, it's amazing. It's a great scene.
Well, my brother, I love you. I appreciate your service, and I just want to get your perspective as we get into this show. But I really appreciate you making the time for us today and calling in, okay?
Thank you.
Thank you, man. I'll talk to you soon. All right, that was Hamid. He and I worked together, and like I said, I'm keeping his last name and his location off the air. I just feel like it's safer that way. Like I said, he still has family in harm's way right now. But man, I'm telling you, when you don't have the frame of reference of what it means to live without freedom, wow. But you're listening to a guy there who grew up with nothing, who was amazed. Did you hear what he said earlier on? One of his earlier memories was when the U.S. troops came, he was amazed by seedless oranges. Just, I mean, can you imagine? That's what stands out in his mind. I mean, the things that we have here, we take for granted. And he comes from a place where freedom was not available, to now living here and having kids that are, you know, going to school. And it's just, anyway, it's been something to watch him grab hold of the American dream. And I remember him being so proud when he got his citizenship. And so anyway, my brother Hamid, and we'll talk more. We get back from this break. Coming up top of the hour, Major General Joe Arbuckle will be on to provide some of his own perspective about his years of service and people he served with. And by the way, he was an advisor to the South Vietnamese Army early in his career. So he worked directly with folks from a different uniform, but just as much in harm's way. All right, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Yeah, that was cool having Hamid on the show. That was. I mean, the guy is just, I mean, there needs to be a book written about his life. But I'm serious, man. We did some crazy stuff together, and this 17-year-old kid toting a AK-47. I don't know if he knew how to use it, but he was with us, and we used to sit down and talk, and he would ask questions about America, like, you know, I've heard this, and what about that, you know, and wow. it was just funny, it was cool. Got some great texts in there. New in the text string, Mindy from Birmingham Says, good afternoon, Phil. I do enjoy your show. Thank you for your military service. He said, my dad, this is Mindy, says, my dad, Walter McGahey, served in the Korean War. He loved our great country. And she goes on to say that, you know, and thank you for your compliments there, Mindy. She says that her dad and countless other brave soldiers, we wouldn't have the freedom we have today. And she loved the opening monologue, says it was over the top. So, Mindy, glad you're in the text string. Glad you're in the audience. Thank you so much. Dave from Killen says, sir, Dave from Killen here. I'm a retired Navy after 25 years. Loved your opening. Thank you for your service, Dave. Says, I always remember my friend, Chief Robert Seeds, that died in 1996 on board the USS Nimitz. He was returning from deployment, in, I think in the Indian Ocean, if I'm not mistaken, what he's got an acronym there. There were 30 days out when an aircraft got trapped and the arresting cable snapped and hit him. So anyway, Dave, thanks, man. Appreciate you. Thanks for your service. And we appreciate having you in the audience. Our buddy Rayson from Hawaii is on there saying, honoring all who gave all to the Gold Star and to the Gold Star families. And also his own father, U.S. Marine Corps Sergeant Alvin Sakagawa, frogman in Vietnam. Man, God bless those frogmen, man. Mm. Those guys were hard as woodpecker lips. Rayson, we love you, man. We're glad you're in the audience. Anyway, let me do this. So what I'm going to do between breaks is I said that my first dipper is called Heroes Among Us. So Alabama has had 33 Medal of Honor recipients, 33. We've been a state since 1819. Now, keep in mind, some of the states may have more, and that's because as a southern state during the Confederates, when the Confederates, you know, what am I trying to say? During the Civil War, Confederate soldiers were not given the Medal of Honor, you know, recognized by the Union. So there are some states that have multiple from the Civil War. There won't be any from Alabama. But we have a bunch nonetheless, and some of them are amazing. Like, I look at some of these, I'm thinking, I had no idea. I had no idea. The first one that grabbed my attention is a guy named Robert Howard. And I've had a chance to meet several of them, like Colonel Thorsness. I've met him. Benny Adkins, I had a chance to meet him. Colonel Olalee Mize, had a chance to meet him. He was very important to me. Robert L. Howard from Opelika. Get this. Robert L. Howard was the most highly decorated officer of the Vietnam War. Medal of Honor recipient. He was wounded 14 times in 54 months of combat. That's over 4 years. That's 4.5 tours in Vietnam. The man was awarded the Medal of Honor, the Distinguished Service Cross, Silver Star, 4 Bronze Stars, and 8 Purple Hearts. For the love. He was nominated for the Medal of Honor actually 3 times over one 13-month period, but he received lesser medals for the first two. That's how he got the Distinguished Service Cross and the Silver Star. Those actions were performed in Cambodia, where he was fighting covertly as a part of what was known as MAC V SOG because he was a Green Beret. He retired from the U.S. Army after 36 years as a full colonel, one of the most decorated soldiers in the Vietnam War and one of the most decorated service members in the history of the United States. He enlisted in the Army from Montgomery, Alabama, although he grew up in Opelika. Retired as a colonel in Special Forces, he has been featured in multiple books. He was a ranger training instructor at both the mountain phase and the swamp phase. I'm just saying, this guy, you talk about hard as woodpecker lips, I'm pretty sure that one classifies as a new category. He also had 2 master's degrees. And there are now at Camp McCall, North Carolina, where they train Special Forces, there is a building named in his honor. So, yeah, Robert L. Howard, Medal of Honor, 8 Purple Hearts, Distinguished Service Cross, Silver Star, 4 Bronze Stars, Opelika, Alabama. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back with Major General Joe Arbuckle. all you Right Side ruffians out there, you are listening to Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right.